Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Now, I just want to start my message tonight by asking you to think of a question. Now, before you do that, can you just think of a friend first? Any friend that comes to your mind. You don't have to say who is it. Just think of a name. Everybody got a name ready? Okay, and after you think of this person, right, I want you to ask yourself, why do you want to be this person's friend? Okay, why do you want to be this person's friend? In other words, I'm asking you to think for your reason of being this person's friend, or motive, if you like to call it. Right? Some people find the word motive like ulterior motive. Okay, motive can be both good and bad. So what is your reason for being this person's friend? Now you don't have to tell me, but just think about that. Okay? Now the reason why I ask you this question is because tonight I would like to talk to you about friendship. Now friendship is something very common, very universal. Even if you are not a Christian, you probably have friends and you want friends. So it's quite safe to assume that everyone in this world would want to have friends. And I think it's also quite safe to assume that most of us, right, why do we have friends? Most of us would want friends more or less along the lines of acceptance. Right? That means whatever your reason is, no matter how you phrase it, I think more or less it has got to do with this thing of what we call acceptance, right? Either direction, right? We want people who will accept us. We also want to accept people, right? Once we consider someone our friend, one of the ways that we want to demonstrate our friendship to them is acceptance. And I'm not saying that, let me clarify, okay? I'm not saying that acceptance is not a good reason for friendship, but I'm saying that there is something probably more important than acceptance when we think about friendship. Right? That is something that we will discover tonight, even as we read stories about Jesus. Okay, but before I want to proceed, right, I want to clarify this. Now, I think that love and acceptance is not exactly the same thing. Y'all follow me? Right, love and acceptance is not exactly the same thing. Okay, what do I mean? I think love is a much bigger thing than acceptance. So in that broad umbrella of love, there includes some form of acceptance. That's why you feel love. You feel good when people accept you. But not all forms of acceptance is love. And I'm sure you can think of some examples, right? When someone asks you to accept him or her for very unusual or perhaps sinful behavior, you're probably not going to accept him for that, just to love him. You might even consider correcting him. So that's why I say that love and acceptance is not exactly the same thing. And that is also true for Jesus. Right, most of us, we might think about how can we have friendships that are very accepting. But to Jesus, I would think that that is not his top priority. So there is something else I believe that Jesus is looking for when it comes to friendship. And why is it so important for us to grasp his own reason, his own priority with regards to friendship? Especially in our context, you'll find that many times, right, friends come and go. Especially for those of you who are going through the different phases of school, right? We're going to welcome some people who are sec ones. Some of you, after you finish your O-levels, A-levels, you're going to go through many phases of friends coming and going out of your lives just like that. And in that, it's easy perhaps to feel a little bit discouraged. Right? If you're just thinking about finding groups where you can have a certain sense of belonging, it can be very discouraging, right, for you when you go to perhaps a school, right, that you don't know anyone at all. Then you kind of start all over again. So as a youth myself, when I go through that kind of phase of life where friends keep coming and going, or perhaps even sometimes, right, you get into a certain conflict with a friend, then you get very discouraged. But for me, I went through that. But as I grow older, I realize that there is something much more important when it comes to friendship that Jesus is looking for. And that is why I would suppose that Jesus, he can handle the kind of, you know, disappointments, discouragements that people typically go through when they think about friendship. Okay, so what is exactly the thing that we want to, that Jesus looks for in friendship? Right, let's look at the first passage for tonight. If your Bibles, let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and I'm going to read from verse 10 to verse 15. So as we read, right, try to sum up in one word. What do you think Jesus is looking for in terms of friendship? Okay? John chapter 15, verse 10. Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Now you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a friend does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Now if you can sum up what Jesus looks for in friendship in one word, what would that be? Give you a hint. The word starts with O. O. Obedience. Okay? Right? In case those of you who thought of it before I said it, give yourself a pat on the shoulder. Okay, Jesus is looking for obedience. So when Jesus looks for friends, he's basically looking for those who will obey him, who obey his commands. Right? And thereby inference, who will also obey God, God the Father, all the commands that now, today we have in the Word of God. Alright, that is what Jesus is looking for. So I'm not saying that Jesus don't look for things like acceptance in friendship. But to me, I'm saying that Jesus values obedience like a very, very high priority. Now, why do I say that? When you look at the life of Jesus, look at his relationships, you realize that he had to so-called accept some people and in a way kind of turn away people. Why is that so? It's all because of this thing that he's looking for, obedience, right? All of his desire to see people, to obey God, right? To speak the truth, to stand firm in his convictions. Jesus had to turn away certain people. But at the same time, we also know that he accepted a lot of people, right, into the kingdom of God. So as I'm speaking, you probably can think of some examples, right? Who are the people that Jesus seems to commonly welcome and accept into his midst? We know that they are the people who we call the tax collectors and the prostitutes, right? These are people who, back in those days, right, people call them so-called the sinners, right? Not as if the other people don't sin, but because of their reputation, people call them the sinners. Then there are also those that Jesus seems to kind of have to turn away, reject. And very commonly, we know that there are people like the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, people who are generally religious, whom you don't think that Jesus will kind of reject, but he actually turned them away, right? Definitely, by the things that he said, he turned many of them not just away, but against him, right? So what was Jesus' basis for doing that? Okay, let's turn to another passage, right? Let's look at Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, let me give you a bit of background. This is a parable that Jesus spoke. Right? And in this parable, he was, you know, kind of relating to the Pharisees. And he's actually being quite direct with them, even though he spoke in a parable. But this is a parable that definitely the Pharisees understood. Right? So you actually see him talking about the Pharisees in this parable. Right? So if you have a Bible, let's turn to Matthew chapter 22. And let's look at verse 1. Right? Jesus spoke to them, referring to the, you know, Pharisees and so on and so forth. Again in parables saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused." Right? So you see a certain level of disobedience there. Alright, verse 4, "Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged." Now, who does the king refer to in this passage? Refers to God, alright? "And then he sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their cities." Now, who did these people refer to? This first group here, right? The people who were the so-called, the initial people on the guest list, who refused to come. Now these people, Jesus was actually referring to the Pharisees, right? The religious leaders, people who in a sense represents those who the invitation is already given, but they refuse to obey, right? Then we move on to look at another group of people. In verse 8 says, then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the streets, corners, and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. So if you have been following me, right, you will know that Jesus, by this, is referring to the tax collectors, the prostitutes, basically the kind of like down and out society that he has been reaching out to, but somehow have been condemned by the other people. Okay? And in verse 11, but when the king came in to see the guests, okay, this is quite interesting part, he noticed a man who was there, who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? Now, if this is a Chinese version, you'll be asking, friend, how do you get in here without giving ang baos? All right, and then verse 13, then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, this parable shouldn't be difficult. Right? I already mentioned there are two groups of people that Jesus was referring to. Right, those who, the invitation was really given, but they didn't obey, they didn't respond. Right, so by this he's trying to, you know, really say that, you know, Pharisees, hey, you guys, you're the one I'm talking about. Right, your hearts are very hard. Right, and there's also the other group that he's speaking about. There's those that, you know, kind of outcasts in society, those who are considered the sinners, whom people reject, but he actually wants to accept them. But it's very interesting, right, that there's this point about the man who came in without wedding clothes. Now, who or what actually does this represent? What was Jesus trying to imply? I think, before the time, I don't have to go into too much detail, but I think it's this, that Jesus is implying that even for those whom Jesus accept, right, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, Jesus is not accepting them without any condition. You hear me? Now, when Jesus accepts people, he might be very different from some of us. He's not saying that I accept you just as you are, right? Anything also can. But when Jesus accepts these people, he wants them to come into obedience. And I believe that first of all, they see a certain hunger in their hearts, a willingness to obey. And that is also why he chose to welcome them into his presence and to teach them and to disciple them. Right, we need to understand this, that Jesus doesn't just like, okay, I love you unconditionally, means you can do anything you want. Right, so in the case of the parable, right, the parable, Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a wedding. So you go to a wedding, what must you do? You must respect the groom and the bride. Right, you cannot just go wearing whatever you like. So in the same way, the kingdom of God has a king. Right, it has certain sort of rules. You cannot just go to the king and be part of a kingdom doing anything that you like. So, for example, I'm a Singaporean. I go to Malaysia. Sorry, the other way. Okay, for example, I'm a Malaysian. I come into Singapore. I just chew gum. Can I do that? Of course, I cannot because there are certain rules that our nation have. So I must learn to abide by the rules. So in this way, Jesus is telling us that he freely accepts anyone, but there is a certain condition to it. Now, I think this one might be quite different from what you usually think about, because we always talk about this whole concept of unconditional love. Do you know that unconditional love, this term is never found in the Bible? Now, some of you might be quite shocked, because we always say that, wow, Jesus loves you unconditionally. But the term unconditional love is not found in the Bible. The concept is also very, how should I put it? There are many ways to look at it. Okay, but you cannot just put a blanket statement and say that Jesus loves us unconditionally and then full stop. So when you look at how Jesus were to accept us or to turn us away, we must understand that it's a condition that he's looking for, and this is condition of obedience, which in John chapter 15, it has already been put forth very clearly, that Jesus is looking for friends, and friends are those who obey him. Are you all following me so far? So if we look at friendship, right, Jesus values obedience way much more than perhaps any one of us would be thinking about. And when Jesus, when he accepts people, or all kinds of people, he can also accept the Pharisees, which he was very friendly to certain Pharisees. But at the end of the day, he accepts those who have a heart that's hungry for God, to obey God, a heart that is willing to change. And we always think about this phrase, right? We always use this phrase in church. I don't know, how many of you have come across this phrase, Jesus is a friend of sinners? How many of you said it or heard of it before? Come across this phrase, Jesus is the friend of sinners. When we think about this phrase, we always think about, wow, how loving and accepting Jesus is, that any one of us can come to him. Right? Even if my life is messed up, I can come to him. Now there's an element of truth in that. But we must remember that when Jesus, right, during the time when people use that phrase about him, it's not a compliment, you know. Right? When how the term, Jesus never said that he's a friend of sinners, but how the term came about was because he was always with, you know, certain kinds of people, and so people use it on him. But it's more like a term of insult than a compliment. So you see, when Jesus relates to people, he relates to people in a way that is very different from us. Okay, so now let's move back from the Bible passages. Let's come back to us where we are today. Right, how different, right, the crux of the matter is, how different is Jesus then from us, as in me, you and I, in today's context? Right, I say that Jesus is looking for friends, looking for obedience. And so allow me to just kind of sum up, right, if you kind of miss the main point of my message today. Then the main point is this, that Jesus is looking for obedience in friendship. Alright, let me repeat that since I think this is the main point. Jesus is looking for friendship. Sorry, looking for obedience in friendship. Right, Jesus is looking for obedience in friendship. And so when he looks at friendship, the motivating factor for him to go and make a friend is this thing called obedience. Right? When Jesus looks at someone that maybe he doesn't know, his motivation, not saying that he doesn't have other kinds of motivation, maybe he has, but his primary motivation is that he wants obedience. He wants to go to this person, you know, whether is it to evangelize or disciple, it is to bring this person to the point of obeying God. Now this is really very different from us. Let me give you a few examples. Right, most of us, the motivation behind our friendships is acceptance. I kind of mentioned it just now. Let me give you some more specific examples. Right, so for those of us who tend to prioritize acceptance, right, in friendship, right, I said it can be both ways, us trying to look for acceptance as well as us trying to accept people, right, in friendship. Right, let me just give you an example. When you go to a new group, whether consciously or unconsciously, one of the first things that comes to our mind when we go to a group of strangers is that we try to make some friends, correct? When we go to a very new group, we try to make some friends. So you go to a cell group, you might be thinking of, do I have friends here? And what happens if maybe 1 week no friends is okay? But what happens if this go on for a longer period of time? What do we do? Most of the time, if we are in a group for a period of time and we don't have any friends, we will start to think that, do I even belong here? Right? We have that kind of thoughts. Do I even belong here? Do I have a sense of belonging? And if it's a group that allows you to leave, for example, your school, your class, if it's a group that allows you to leave, for example, your church, right, your cell group, then you might consider leaving. But if it's a group that you cannot leave, then like a school, then of course no choice. Right? But you get what I'm trying to say? The option of leaving can be very real. And if you think about it, a lot of people who, you know, who have left church, one of the reasons why they leave church is because they don't feel that they belong. Am I right to say that? Very common thing here. It's not that they have anything, maybe that they believe, they don't believe the Bible or what, there are some. But the majority of people, they leave is because they don't find a sense of belonging. So for us, it's very natural, whether consciously or subconsciously, you go into a new group, one of the first things you hope to experience is to be accepted. Right? That's why I'm not trying to accuse anyone, but this, how we usually think It tells us that by nature, we are looking for acceptance more than anything else in friendship. Okay, let me give you another scenario. Same thing, you are in a new group, but supposedly you are a little bit more bold, less shy. Right? You are not like me, you are not so shy. Okay, so what you do is you think of, why don't I just go and make some friends? Now, what do you think about at that point of time? The tendency for those people is they think about who they find more acceptable. Right? More acceptable according to their own sort of like definition or social circle, right, of friends. So for example, if I'm someone who, you know, is a little bit more intellectual, I will be more akin to making friends who are intellectual like me, like Ben, like that, very intellectual, right? But I'm still very humble. Okay? But if I'm the kind who may be more sporty, I wouldn't want to go and find someone who's a bit not sporty, but I will find someone who maybe enjoys sports. That's a natural thing that we do. Right? Or if we look at it from the other way around, right? That is that when we look for friends, we will perhaps think about how are we being accepted. So we will think about, okay, let's look at this room, scan through. Out of all these very scary faces, like some of you not really looking at me right now, very scary. Right, out of all these scary faces, which one is the one that looks least scary? I'm trying to look right now. Right, is that Michelle? Michelle is smiling at me, so she's not so scary, and her friend beside her. Right, so if they are not so scary, then I'll approach them first. Right, why do I do that? It's because I'm afraid that I'll be rejected. Or maybe in a case, right, most of us, what I'm saying is like very hypothetical. Most of us, we will not even approach people first. Now, how many of you, be honest, you are the kind that you'll wait for people to approach you first one. You don't want to approach people first. Many times I'm also like that, but sometimes I feel like I got no choice. I have to be a functional extrovert, right? Okay, but what does that tell us about ourselves when we wait for others to approach us? If I want to be blatantly honest, right, it just means that we want people to perhaps accept us first. Right? If someone approach us, there's a higher chance that this person already want to accept us. So if we wait, then we are operating a very safe mode. We are only befriending people who most probably will accept us. We don't have to go to the point where we'll be rejected by people. Okay? You all follow me so far? So, underlying, okay, we may be able to give all the model answers because we are good Christians who read the Bible. But underlying all this is that when we are very honest with ourselves, most of the time, our friendship is based on acceptance, right? Acceptance has a much higher priority than anything else. And that's why when, let's say, you know, someone perhaps do anything that seems to reject you, become very devastated. And that is, if that is how we so-called are operating, right? Today, I'm asking you for a change of mind. I'm asking for you to start to see friendships the way that Jesus does. So don't get me wrong, I have to repeat this many times. I'm not saying that acceptance is a bad thing. But if you are looking for acceptance in friendship as the number one thing, you are actually looking at friendship very differently from Jesus. And when you look at the life of Jesus, think about it. What actually allows Jesus to do the work that he does? By going about to share the gospel, even in sometimes a way that is so harsh, it is because for him, acceptance is not the main thing. Right? When he goes about to love people, to befriend people, his ultimate motive is to bring people to obedience to God. Right? That is the basis of evangelism, the basis of discipleship. For people who don't know God, you want to bring them to know God and to come into submission to his laws. For people who already know God, you want to bring them a step further to come into submission more and more, right, into God's laws. And that is very important for us to catch. Now, we may not realize its importance on a day-to-day basis, but there will be certain situations where you are really forced to recognize that. Right? And one of the situations is this, that if you're the kind of person who only want, right, who primarily focus on acceptance, in friendship. One of the challenges you'll face is when... Oh, I didn't realize there's water here. Okay, sorry. One of the things that you'll face is when your values and the values of your friends differ. So if you're the kind who always want to have people accepting you, right? When you are right, but your friend is wrong, you find a struggle. For example, maybe to speak up. Or put it the other way, if you are the person who is wrong, right? Your friend is right. But when your friend corrects you, because you are the kind who, you know, put so much emphasis on acceptance, and then when your friend corrects you, what happened? You feel offended. So these are just some examples for us to note, right? That when we choose to look at friendship, we really, really need to see it the way that Jesus sees it, right? To be motivated by wanting obedience. And how will that change your friendship? Let me ask you, how will that? Okay, if today you agree with me, you say that I'm going to check my heart, I'm going to make sure that I don't put acceptance as a top thing, but I'm going to put obedience to God as a top thing. How will that change your friendships? Think about that. Okay, how will that change your friendships? Have you thought about that already? Okay, one of the ways that your friendships, the way you deal with friendships might change is this. That let's say if you go into a new group of friends, or maybe even can apply also to a regular group of friends, you start to realize that you are looking for people who can actually correct you, who can teach you, and who can role model to you what does it mean to be obedient to God. Now, most of us, we tend to gravitate towards people that we feel comfortable with. So it takes a lot of effort to do that. But if you really see obedience as a key thing that Jesus is looking for in friendships, when you go to, you know, meet your friends, you realize that you start to be more open to correction. Okay? That's one thing. The other thing is that you will start to be someone who will draw a clearer line between what you can compromise and what you cannot compromise. Now, many of us, including myself, right, with different group of friends, I feel a need to adjust myself. But when you see obedience as key, you will start to think twice. I'm talking not just like wanting your friends to obey, but even you yourself to be obedient to God's ways. Another thing that might change is your friends might even change. By that I mean like the kind of friends that you mix with. You might have new groups of friends, and you might have so-called friends that you might even lose. Okay, I know it's not something very easy to stomach, but basically, that's what happens when you become a Christian. Right? When you say that I'm going to surrender my all to Jesus. That includes surrendering your friendships. So in the case of Jesus, he demonstrated very clearly when he chose to be obedient to God's standard, and when he chose to make people's obedience to God the primary goal that he goes for, right? He basically cannot make friends with anyone that he likes. There will be those, okay, I'm not saying that Jesus is intentionally trying to turn people away, but because of his, like, standing firm to his convictions, he can't help it, but in that sense, turn many people away from him and against him. And so if you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you've got to know that there is a very real possibility that when you look at friendships the way that Jesus does, you might end up losing some of your friends. Now, some of your friends might just find you too weird for them. Some of your friends might just find that you are too, maybe, rigid, right? Some of your friends might accuse you maybe of being just too unloving, unaccepting. And those things will happen. Now, some of your friends, you realize that they are just maybe the kind that don't like to be corrected. Now, some of the friends, maybe you have spent years after years trying to share about Jesus with them. And you come to a point that God may actually prompt you to start to look for new friends. Just now Ben mentioned, right, the harvest is plentiful. When Jesus said that, I believe Jesus is looking at the fact that there are so many different people out there who have a very hungry heart, but they never have a chance to hear the gospel. And there are people who are like that. There are people out there who are like that, whom you may never have met. And if you go by your natural self, you may not even find that it's that easy to accept certain things about them. But God, if you really, you know, put obedience to God as the priority, you'll find that God will more and more lead you to such kind of people who probably you will not imagine that you will be friends with. But in the end, you'll befriend them because you know that if Jesus was living in our age today, He will be befriending these people. Right? So I know I say a lot, maybe you're all wondering what I'm trying to say. Let me give you an illustration, right? My own illustration is that, you know, when we always talk about evangelizing to people, right? One of the things that I commonly think about is my friends. I got a lot of friends who are not Christians. Some of them I don't keep in touch with as much. Actually, most of them. Okay, so these are my friends who, right, we've been through school, we've been through a lot together. We have a lot of fun together, and basically we click lah. Okay, the gist of it is we click. These are the friends that, if I would think about how much I can click with, perhaps I can click with some of them, maybe even more than some of you, simply because of the age gap. So these are, I have some of these friends who I think that I naturally click with. But over time, right, as I look at them, I realize that there are a couple of them whom in the past I've been able to share Christ with them, but they just haven't responded. Then also by way of, you know, like our circumstances, we grow old, some have kids, and so on and so forth. We just don't have as much time together as in the past. So if you look at so-called the obedience level, if there were ever such a thing, right, then actually these friends now would be on quite a low level, so to speak. And when I think about evangelism, I always think about, okay, what can I do for these friends? How much can I, like love them and accept them so that they can, right, have a chance to get to know Jesus? But as I, you know, journey more and more in life, I realize that there is really a time that I need to look at other people beyond these friends. Because for some of them, it could just be that their hearts are not open. And if Jesus was here today, very unfortunately, Jesus will have to perhaps put some of these people aside. It's a very real thing. Okay, I'm not saying that Jesus don't love them anymore. But when you look at priorities, Jesus' priorities will have to change. And so do our priorities. So for us, it means that we have to start to think about, okay, where else are there people who might be open, willing to obey Jesus, that we might have never reached out to them before, maybe because of our own discomfort or prejudices. And that's something at least I considered. And so therefore, you know, I'm also on this journey. I'm not saying that I'm fully on this journey, but I'm also on this journey of discovering that there are really a lot more people who I may never consider them my friends, but I need to start to think about how I can go a step more and more to reach out to these people. Right, so just to give you one example, this is not really the best example, but for illustration, I think probably the best lah. Okay, I know I'm kind of contradicting myself here, but as I share, you begin to understand what I mean. Okay, there is a ministry that I managed to sort of like be involved in for a few weeks already. And what this ministry basically does is that they reach out to what we call prostitutes. Or in a nicer term, we call them street ladies. So this ministry doesn't reach out to these people, but they try to reach out to other people who are kind of related. So on one occasion, the team leaders decided to send us out to reach out to people who are so-called the customers. Now, when you go out to the streets of Geylang on a Sunday night, you'll find that there are many foreign workers who are just sitting around. So you really have no idea whether these people are there for business. I mean that kind of business. Or they're just going there to chill out. But anyway, you know, my friend and I, we just walk around to look for some of these. Very interesting, right? There is a group of Indian nationals that we met. They were not too keen to talk to us. And they were actually sitting next to a van, a lorry, with an exhaust pipe facing them while they're eating. So I'm thinking, how come these people eat, right, with an exhaust pipe next to them and they're not moving away? So when I to talk to them, right, I have to basically also sit next to the exhaust pipe. I'm thinking like, wow, very huge sacrifice because I'm like breathing in a lot of unhealthy gas. Okay, but because this group didn't like reciprocate, so we move on. Then we move on to a group, right, of three Chinamen. Right, they are basically construction workers. So later I found out that they are not there for business. They're just going there to kind of chill up. But there's something very interesting that when I first started to talk to them, right, I realized that they are not open to talk to us at all. Now, you don't have to be a genius to realize that people are not too friendly to you. Okay, so that went on for quite a while. So I was just trying to talk to them and they are not very interested. And I kind of, I don't know why, out of the blue, I just asked them, oh, by the way, do you have friends who are like Singaporeans? I said this thing that is like really struck me. This says that we don't. And we kind of think that Singaporeans generally don't want to talk to us also. Now, I already kind of guessed that, but when they say it, it was like, wow, kind of a moment of realization. Because now you're hearing from the horse's mouth, you're hearing from the foreigners directly. This is how they feel. Okay, they may not be representative of all the foreigners, but at least they represent some. And this was how they felt. So I really felt that usually when people tell me, or when people are not so friendly, after I talk for a few minutes, I will just kind of like, okay, never mind, let me move on. But for that group, I just felt that I think I need to kind of persist lah. So to cut the long story short, we persisted, you know, we were kind of squatting there and we have to, like my friend, right, I just squatting there at a car park because they were sitting on the pavement. So in the end, no choice, you want to talk longer with them, leg no energy, right, so you cannot squat, so you have to sit on the road. I really admire my friend, she was the first one to sit on the road first. So after a while, I just follow her. My first time in my life sitting on the road, right, and talking to people. And after we talked for maybe coming to an hour, I think these people, they realize that we are different from other Singaporeans. They realize that we are really interested in their lives. So what happened? They decided to, they slowly over time, they just open up more and more to us. So by the end of the day, all of them were very interested in talking to us. The conversation just went on. And just before they left, I asked them, can we just pray for you? So they said, actually, we don't believe, you know, in Jesus, but we don't mind. Right? So we had a chance just to pray for them. So why I'm sharing this with you is that when you think about reaching out to people, it's actually not rocket science. But what you really need is to have friendship. Because evangelism is what? Evangelism is basically bring people who never have known about Jesus, never obeyed Him before, to obey Him. And many of these people, when you go around talking to your friends or elsewhere, you realize that many people aren't that interested about your God until they experience some form of love and friendship. And on that night, I realized how powerful friendship can be. At least for these three men, okay, not that they immediately received Jesus, but they were brought a step closer to knowing and obeying Jesus. It's simply because when we went out, right, our objective in that sense was already very clearly stated by our team leader. You're going out to make friends so that, by way of the program even, right, that you are there so that people can get to know Jesus through your love and your friendship. But it's very unfortunate because on a day-to-day basis, we are not that intentional. When we think about friendship, right, when we think about, okay, now I've got some spare time, I can go out with my friends. Usually it's to go more along the lines of acceptance or other things, right? Okay, I'm going out with my friends so that we can just chill together, right? We can relax, we can have fun, all kinds of reasons. I'm not saying that these reasons are bad, but when you look at Jesus, Jesus really wasted no time. And therefore, he was very intentional in his friendships. Every friendship that he has, or every opportunity he has to initiate friendship, the first and foremost thing that he does is to bring people into obedience to God. Whether is it for those who do know him and then bring them, right, totally afresh, or for those who kind of already know him, but just to bring them a step closer, what we call discipleship. Now I can tell you that if you decide to gear your life in this way, you gear your friendships in this way, you find that it can be quite tiring. But at the end of the day, it is a sacrifice worth making. Now the Apostle Peter, I don't have time to really go into this story, so I'll just narrate for you. Right, the Apostle Peter, not me, the other Peter. Right, in Acts chapter 10, are you all familiar with the story in Acts chapter 10? Okay, basically the gist of it is that, you know, God first of all gave him a vision, right? And in the vision, the gist of it is that you can eat any kind of food that you want. Right? And you must understand the context of it is that for the Jews, there are certain kinds of food that they don't eat. Now, the reason why they don't eat is because God said it has a law. But the law, I believe, right, it's not so much of a law that says that, okay, this is indefinitely a sin. Right, when you look at Genesis chapter 9, right, God actually gave Noah, which means us, all the animals to be eaten. So even cockroach also God gave us to eat. Okay? You don't believe it? Go back and read Genesis chapter 9. Okay, so basically God gave everything, but he wants the Israelites to be a very special people. So he wants to set them apart by way of telling them certain kind of food you cannot eat. So that when you do that, then you set yourself apart from the rest. You don't associate with the rest, so that you can just, you know, be a community that fully relates to God and to one another. That was for the Old Testament, right? But when Jesus came, he wanted to get the people to break out of that. So he wanted Peter to be the first person to go out. And what did Peter have to do? Basically, Jesus told him, basically, you can eat anything you want now because no food is now unclean. But it comes with a huge price because the moment Peter starts to eat that kind of food means that his own people, the Jews, will reject him. But anyway, he kind of talked a little bit with God, and then later on, some people came looking for him. So he moved on. And when he went to this house, this was a house of what we call a Gentiles. And then Peter himself know very clearly that Jews don't associate with Gentiles, because if you associate with Gentiles, then what happens when you go back to the Jews will not, right, be open to you anymore. Right? The Jews might accept, may reject him. So this was the dilemma that Peter was in. Right? When he went to the Gentiles, he realized that there was such a hunger for the Lord that immediately they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he was at a place where he knew that there can be a lot more to do to help the Gentiles to be more obedient to God, right? To know Jesus much more. But when he went to them, he knew very much that there is a cost involved, that he got to be even so called at the expense of being rejected by his own people. This is the cost involved, but when you look at the story with hindsight, today we are experiencing the rewards of that. Right? Because Peter, not this Peter, however I can claim his credit, but to his credit, Peter was the one who, in that sense, broke the cultural barrier. And that's why today, we are also Gentiles. We have the opportunity to know Jesus. It's really because of this incident. Right? Or someone who choose to put something else other than being accepted as the first and foremost priority when it comes to friendship. So I want to encourage you tonight, even as we, you know, draw the service to a close. When you think about friends, all of us have this innate desire to want friends. We don't want to be lonely. No, we don't want to be, you know, so-called like left out. And it's okay in that sense to look for friends and to hope that your needs are met. I'm not saying that it's sinful, but we need to move beyond that. We need to move beyond that. We need to come to a place where we look at every friend that we have and we say that our first and foremost priority is to help them to know Jesus, is to bring them to obedience, even at a cost, right, of maybe so-called losing these friends. And the other thing is that be open, that if you seek that, maybe God will bring you to new groups of friends whom perhaps you might never think that you will accept on a normal day-to-day circumstances. And that includes, right, just now, if you go by my illustration, perhaps the foreigners, maybe some of us here, we don't really like them because of the competition in school and all that. But if you're really wanting to obey God and helping them to obey God, God might even lead you to be the ones who proactively befriend them. Okay? So let's have a very open heart. Let's just change our mind. Let's just be honest with ourselves if there have ever been a time that we have been closed up because of our own comfort instead of wanting people to know God. Now, I just thought that I'd share this. Very interesting, right? Like, a few months ago, Genting actually shared a testimony about how they reached out to a family in the neighborhood. So I actually shared that same testimony at the adult service. And then after that, one adult came to me and said that, oh, who is the youth that this youth of yours reached out to? So I said, oh, the person that this youth reached out to is not a youth. It's actually one of the committee uncles, right, who's an uncle. So after I left that conversation, I realized that actually we kind of have this kind of stereotypes. As young people, your friends are just limited to young people, lah. Right? But if you were to be willing to allow God to use you to lead other people to know Him, to obey Him, you realize that God can even give you friends who you don't usually mingle with. Right? The uncles, the aunties that you kind of say hi and bye to at a house and all that. Those people can be your friends as well. You get what I'm trying to say? So don't think that it's abnormal. In fact, normal is a very subjective thing. So like when we have TOTT, some of you, for the first time in your life, you have like friends who are older than you by a few years. For some of the campus students, you have friends who are like younger than you by a few years. You might feel a bit weird, but that's not abnormal. Maybe you are the one who's abnormal. But that's really not abnormal because God created us to be able to relate to anyone. Okay? So why don't we just stand as we close this time. I'm just going to ask Grace and a team to lead us in a closing song to respond to the Lord. But as I close, right, I want to give you a moment to reflect. I want you to just begin to ask yourself, why do you make friends? Be very honest with yourself. What's the underlying motivation? Is it the same motives that God has? And if you know it is different, tonight is the time for a change. And so if the Lord just impressed upon your heart that you need a change, I want you just begin to pray. Pray that the Lord will use you to be a friend to whoever He's going to lead you. So that can mean maybe to continue to be friends with those that you made friends with at TOTT. No, the onus is really on you, not on the church to do TOTT. It could be through the Christmas outreach, who knows? Right, that you start to be more exposed to people out there in the community. But whatever it is, I want you to just pray to the Lord to help you to be a friend like He is. The kind of friend whom some may reject, but the kind of friend who will just go all out nonetheless. To love people really the way that God loves. To lead them to know God more and more. And if the Lord impresses upon your heart specific groups of people whom you might have rejected for some reason, but the Lord wants you to go all out to befriend them, I want you to just pray right now that God will lead you to reach out to these people. Don't let this moment pass you by without considering that seriousness of what we talk about tonight. So just going to give you a few moments to do that before we sing. Father, we just want to thank You for reaching out to us. Oh, we are so unworthy, but You loved us. And through Jesus, we experience Your love. And tonight we remember of how much Jesus has to go through, even just to bring us to knowing You and to obeying You. The kind of sacrifice He went through to be rejected and scorned by people. And tonight our desire is to follow His example, Your example, Lord Jesus. Forgive us in those times where maybe we have allowed other things to take greater priorities in our friendship. May your example even give us courage to stand firm in those times where maybe people around us have very different values, and to embrace people that we may never have imagined ourselves embracing, but because our goal is to bring them to know you, that we are willing even to step out of our comfort zone, oh God. Do that for us right now, because we know that this is not something that we can do for ourselves, but it's only your Spirit that comes to transform our hearts. And tonight, God, you see all these hearts that are open. We just pray that you begin to work in us. Thank you, Lord. We'll just close with this song. Invite Grace to lead us. Let's just use this song as a response to the Lord in whatever He has even prompted us tonight.
This is my desire.
Pray as we close this time. Thank you, Lord. And before I pray, I just felt that maybe some of us here may have gone through certain discouragements and disappointments in your friendships with other people. I felt the encouragement for you, the Lord is saying, is that look to me. If you look to men, you will constantly be disappointed. If all you're looking for is just to feel accepted, you will never find that complete acceptance. But look to me, learn to obey my commands, learn to follow me with all your heart, and know that as you do that, you will experience more and more of my grace, and you'll grow deeper and deeper in this friendship that we have. And that friendship will give you courage will help you to know that you are being loved by the Lord. And that wherever you go, even as you relate with people, no matter what people can do to hurt you, you will not be destroyed, but you will stand firm and experience the joy of this life, of friendships that God has even given to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just pray for all my friends here tonight. Pray that you will just seal every word that is being preached and shared. And pray that, Lord, that as they go forth from this place, that truly this seed will bear much fruit. You know that there are many, many people out there who need to know you, Jesus. And we just pray that through what we have learned tonight, as it changed our hearts, that we can also be your vessel to touch the hearts of many out there who needs the friendship of Jesus. And all friends of God say, Amen, Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Alright, if any of you just need prayer, just feel free to come to the front and we'll just be here to minister to you.